Good morning and welcome to Smashy Business. I'm Lubna Hamdan.
Good morning, I am Ali Baba.
Ramadan Kareem, Ali Baba.
Ramadan Kareem.
How's it been going for you so far?
Today I'm very, 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 very sleepy.
is it harder to fast in the beginning of Ramadan and then it gets easier as
always,
it goes on?
Always, always, always. It's just you need those 2-3 days, you know, to get used to it.
Yeah.
Sort of your sleeping pattern changes when you're eating food, you know, drinking, you know, comes into play. So
before you know what, I want to get into that. I'm just going to quickly go through the news and then I have some questions for you about that. Telegram will be profitable next year, apparently, according to the founder, Pavel Durov, and it's gotten a $30 billion valuation, he claims. We'll find out more about that. UAE tenants will soon be able to pay their rent online, but it might increase even for older tenants. And then a special sports segment with the one and only Ali Baba. Al Ain beat Al Nasr yesterday. We're going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And Ronaldo spoke to the crowds yesterday as well, correct?
What he did yesterday and before.
And yes. Before, all right. And then stay with us for our guest interview with Dubai's, the female founders behind Dubai's first female-founded chess club. Right, going back to Ramadan, culturally here, do people conduct business meetings before iftar?
Yeah, I think it's business as usual before iftar, during the day. It's just shorter working hours.
Right.
You know, but people take into consideration that people who are fasting are going to be firstly sleep deprived. That's
right.
One.
And hangry.
Hangry. and yeah, hangry, thirsty, you know.
So it's probably not really a good idea, is it, to have business meetings? A lot of deals can
You can probably
can
postpone
unravel.
It. Postpone it to after Ramadan.
Let's just postpone business in general. Yeah, let's just have a one. It's just 1 month in a year. We can pause it.
3 weeks.
What's the worst that can happen?
What will you lose?
How much money will you lose?
Unless you do night shifts. Yeah, that's
unless
another.
You do night shifts.
Yeah.
Right. So Dubai's Telegram. Do you use Telegram?
I recently got onto Telegram.
Why?
Just for news that.
I'm just curious as to the reason why you started using it.
Because someone that I follow, like sort of going into religion, yeah,
right.
From that aspect, he puts in like
content stuff. There.
Yeah, content in terms of like you learn stuff. You know, I want to learn stuff.
And was that as Ramadan was approaching?
No. That was way
before. Okay.
That was like in Jan.
Okay, right. Yeah. I saw a funny meme about something about going out with an Arab guy during Ramadan, that basically they just disappear during Ramadan.
Yeah, he becomes Abdullah.
Exactly.
During Ramadan.
Exactly. Right, okay, going back to business. Pavel Durov, the founder, and he claims to be the sole owner of Telegram, which is the messaging app, of course. He said he did a very rare interview. He never does interviews. I think he's done probably 2 or 3 interviews ever, and I think one of them was on stage at a big event. I heard from someone who knows him, I heard he's very socially paranoid, even when he's out at restaurants. I heard that if he goes out on a date with someone, he makes sure to take away their phone because he doesn't want to be, you know, recorded or doesn't want people to take photos of him. And actually, if you go on his Instagram, he just has these really weird AI-generated looking photos, and he's just done so much to his appearance. Like, I think he's definitely had, I don't want to claim this. This might not be true, but he looks like he's got ab etching, fillers, definitely a hair transplant.
So he's done work to himself.
He's done work. I mean, hey, like, I'm not against, you know, bettering yourself, but he looks very robotic on his Instagram. And I feel like it's just like a code word for body dysmorphia, probably. However, we don't want to get sued, so moving on.
yes,
moving on.
That's a thing.
So he said it's nearing profitability. It might be profitable, if not this year, next year, he said, and will potentially opt for a stock market listing. It's going to be interesting where they choose to list. If they do it here in Dubai, that would make huge waves. He said the social media app is making hundreds of millions of dollars in revenues thanks to advertising and premium subscription services, which it introduced 2 years ago. He said in his first public interview since 2017, that's a long time.
Wow.
And the platform now has 900 million monthly active users, up from 500 million in 2021. I did hear from someone as well that the company is doing pretty well.
Mm.
And I also heard that people want to throw money at this company, that there is a lot of that they do have quite a lot of money. There is no issue with money.
Mm.
That's according to one of my sources. Dudov also claims that he fully owns Telegram and said the company has been offered a $30 billion plus valuation from potential investors, including global late stage tech funds. But he said he doesn't want to sell the platform and is instead exploring a future potential initial public offering. He said the reason why we started to monetize is because we wanted to remain independent. Generally speaking, he told the Financial Times that we see value in an IPO as a means to democratize access to Telegram's value. It's funny because he left Russia because he claimed he didn't want to give the government data involving some Ukrainian users on the app. And then he came to Dubai where censorship is, you know, obviously we are censored here.
Yeah.
It's fine. We love the UAE. We love Dubai. But, you know, we are censored to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think you have sort of some, like you have freedom of, you know, what you want to post, but, you know, you still have
within
to be
limits.
Yeah, within limits. You have to be respectful towards other people's ideals and morals and
absolutely
the laws of the country.
Absolutely.
The culture as well. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just interesting, right? It's interesting because does he really fully own Telegram? Why did he move the company from St. Petersburg to Dubai? It's interesting. I mean, it's great. It's really great for Dubai.
You might want to think, like, I think in his mind it was more of like Dubai is sort of the area where a lot of people can come and meet him, whereas in Russia he might be restricted in terms of business. So you might have investors from the US or whatever.
Okay, good come. Point. Good point.
You know, Dubai is open to everywhere. You know, it is the hotspot rather than St. Petersburg.
That's a great point. St. Petersburg is beautiful, though. Have you been to Russia?
Unfortunately, no, but one day, inshallah.
You should. You would love it. It's but that is a great point. And we are seeing, you know, the crypto guys coming here. We're seeing a lot of startups move from Russia and come and open, you know, and conduct business here. So that's great to see. Okay, moving on. UAE tenants will soon be able to pay their rent online, but it might increase even if you've been living in a property for over 2 years. Ah, there's always good news. but then, you know, I guess it's a balance.
It comes with it.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So the UAE app called Keeper, which is co-founded by Walid Shihabi, who's going to be on the show tomorrow as the co-host. He's absolutely brilliant. But it's a rent now, pay later platform.
Mm.
For both property owners, investors, and tenants. And Keeper is teaming up with the Direct Debit, which is regulated by the central bank. It's a marketplace. It's going to launch the country's first digital rental payment service on the platform. And it's basically going to replace the traditional check system, which it's about time that is replaced. And it requires 95% of tenants to pay with written checks. I mean, it's probably about time. However, the property companies are trying to increase rents again, I think. And they always, you know, this is what they do. RERA makes an announcement, and then the CEO of a property company will come out and just make his own analysis. And of course, the analysis is always to his benefit.
Opinion based, yeah.
So apparently, according to the CEO of Better Homes, RERA, the Real Estate Regulatory Authority Index for Dubai, has been updated, and he says it will probably affect tenants who have been living in properties for over 2 years. Basically, it tells you, the index tells you how much your rent can be increased upon renewal. Okay? A lot of landlords have kept the rent as it is if you've been living in a property for even 1 year or 2 years. You know, some landlords are good, right? Yeah,
they're nice.
They haven't changed the rents. This is kind of saying, hey, we can increase it even if you've been living here for over 2 years. He says the future renewals are more in line with rents found today on the open market. The calculator tells landlords and tenants how much rent on renewal can increase based on a benchmark rent for each community. How do you feel about that?
For investors, amazing news. For tenants, not amazing news.
I sense that you own property.
Yes. Yes.
I sense this. I saw the smile, and I said, "Why is he happy about a rent increase?" And then dirham dropped.
But I'm living in a house now. So
you're living in the house that you own.
Yeah. Yeah. So
okay. You just heard ka-ching.
Well, looks like in a few months I might have to move out.
Right. Looks like it.
I rent out my house. So
which area is your house in?
So there's this new area called the Dubai South.
Yes, of course.
It is behind Al Maktoum Airport, which is next to Expo. It is intended to be the new downtown, that area.
Right.
Of Dubai.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're trying to get people away from Burj Khalifa and.
Yeah.
Downtown area that's currently there, which is a hotspot.
Right.
And shift everybody this side of Dubai.
Right, right. Okay, makes sense. I mean, the traffic in downtown is just getting
crazy.
Mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, look, good news for you, Ali. I mean, I'm not looking forward to it, but I guess let's just move on. Special sports segment. Gosh. Al Ain beat Al Nasr yesterday.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yes, so
that's not great for Al Nasr, is it?
No,
it is not. Not good for Ronaldo. It's quite embarrassing, in fact, isn't it?
Well, we'll get into it. In terms of Al Ain, when they played, it was a two-leg game.
Mm.
Yeah, so they played their first game, which was last week on Monday, here in Abu Dhabi.
Mm-hmm.
And Al Ain won 1-0. Yeah. So then what happened was, Al Nasr didn't play well. You know, a lot of, Saudi media does its own thing and criticizes Al Nasr.
Right.
You know, and Cristiano Ronaldo. So what happens next? Ronaldo comes out in a press conference and says to an Emirati reporter.
Yeah.
It said remontada. You want to ask them about the remontada? Then Cristiano said remontada, inshallah, which means we will come back.
Uh-huh.
Remontada means we'll come back into the game, and win. That's what
nice.
Remontada means.
Nice.
So last night they played. It was a goal fiesta. We saw like 6 goals. 3-3, or
wow.
it was 4-3, and it went into extra time, penalties,
okay.
Extra time and then penalties.
Okay.
Crazy game. At the end, Al Ain beat Al Nasr in the penalties.
I mean, that's really exciting though, isn't it? It's getting exciting.
Yeah, probably this was the first time where I saw an Asian Asian Champions League game at this level. It was never at this level.
We were just talking about this
the
other day.
Yeah, the stadium was full. Al Ain fans over there, packed,
Amazing.
And of course, Al Nasr fans, they filled up the stadium.
Amazing.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And the amount of videos that
Ronaldo
went viral again because he lost, you know.
Right. I mean, that guy just goes viral, whatever he does.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't even have to do much.
No.
So who scored, how many goals did he score?
So Ronaldo scored the tying goal, which is a penalty.
Okay.
And then they went into the penalties. But he missed. Yes, I was getting... Yeah, we're getting
the producer Hisham is not a fan of Ronaldo. He's saying that he missed an easy chance to score a goal.
Yeah, he's a Messi fan. He doesn't remember where Messi didn't score an open goal. Anyway, yes, he did miss a couple of opportunities that were there for him to end the game.
Mm.
But again, it's about luck. You know, football,
you can't always get it right.
Sometimes it's not your day. And yesterday...
So you are a Ronaldo fan, I understand.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
I've because I'm a United supporter, Manchester United supporter,
Ronaldo
broke out from...
Right.
From Manchester
United. I just don't like one thing. I don't like how he behaves with fans. He's quite rude. I saw him once at, I was at Namos having dinner, and I saw him basically getting up with Georgina, leaving Namos, and a guy was taking a video of him, and he took his phone and he threw it on the floor.
Mm.
I mean, dude, like, come on, you know, get a grip, get a grip.
I can see it from his perspective, see. I don't see it as rude from him. I see it as rude from us. So imagine you put yourself in Ronaldo's shoes.
You really like him. You really like him if you're defending that kind of behavior.
No. So I'm trying to explain it. I've tried to explain it in terms of there is some sort of humanity there. You know, the man is out with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Trying to have a good night. He is well known, you know, he's the most famous person
right.
around the world.
But I mean...
But, you know, at least be respectful.
Mm.
You know, when you're a fan, be respectful. Like, it's common...
But is it really that disrespectful that as he's walking out to just get a video of him? Because that fan is probably just really excited to see him. And look, you know... These celebrities, right?
Mm.
They had bodyguards around the table. They had their privacy. No one was allowed to take photos. Everything was fine.
Yeah.
It's not really going to affect you much. You're a star. And your fans have, you know, you are a star because of your fans, right?
Mm.
The fans make you the star.
Yeah.
It just seems a little bit... arrogant. I mean, and we know he's arrogant, right? It's in his personality, but
you can't be the best player in the world or the best player that's ever played and not be arrogant. So
really,
it comes with your, it comes with
maybe it
charisma.
Comes with the territory.
It's charisma.
Yeah,
it's charisma.
I don't think it's charismatic to take someone's phone and throw it. But anyways, we'll move on from that. We'll move on. And also, he needs to wife up Georgina. He's living in Saudi, you know? Respect the culture, man. Wife her up. Moving on. This just turned into something else and not a business show. Next up, Inside Dubai's first chess club that's founded by two females. Up next, stay with us. Nastya Berz and Polly Zed, co-founders of the first chess club in Dubai that's founded by females. It's amazing to have you with us in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Why did you... You know what? First of all, I'm going to tell our listeners and viewers a little bit about what you guys do. So the chess club is called Fairs, and you're bringing life into chess. Chess doesn't have to be boring, right? The event, you guys host events where people go and play chess, but it's in a very nice, exciting setting, the candles, the flowers, the red kind of interiors. I'm trying to paint a picture so people understand it better. The music, the entertainment, and then there are chess tables kind of scattered around, and people play rounds with each other, drinks. It's very exciting for a chess club. What was the idea behind it? How did you guys, you know, and why are you doing this?
So we came to this idea because actually, like, we have a huge passion for chess. So one day we were just like sitting and trying to find a nice event with chess, but we could not like find it. Mm-hmm. Because actually in Dubai here is a lot of chess clubs, but they're mostly like for kids. I mean, for educational purpose, I can say.
Uh-huh, okay.
And something like event, beautiful event with nice atmosphere, mm-hmm. more like entertainment, we could not found it. So mm-hmm. we decided to create it.
Mm-hmm. And you're both from Russia.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
we're both from Russia, from one region named Ural.
Mm-hmm.
Chelyabinsk and Yekaterinburg.
Uh-huh, okay, beautiful. And gosh, like in Russia, chess is quite big. When did you guys move from Russia to Dubai, and did you move here with the intent of starting something with chess, or did you move here for other business purposes? And what do you actually do for besides the chess club?
So for me, it was like that I came first of all to Milano. I was mm-hmm. there on the modeling contract, mm-hmm. and after Milano, I already moved here also for modeling,
mm-hmm.
and then we already started our chess
1 year ago.
For me, one year.
No, we start to play 1 year ago. We start to our event in the beginning of December.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So before we were like here as models, professional models. I'm already for 7 years, and Nastya for. Six.
Oh, we're the same.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, incredible. Let's talk about the events industry here. How is the chess club doing so far? You launched in December.
We launched in December. We made like our first event on 23 of December. Then we made another, our second event on 13th of February.
And the people attending are top CEOs, top level executive. The CEO of Mashriq Bank was there at the chess club. I mean, for an event that just started, you guys had an incredible crowd there.
Yeah, we are really happy how it's going, because actually we understood that here is a lot of people who really love chess, but nothing of I can say of these kind of events mm-hmm. here is going on in Dubai. Mm-hmm. So the people are really reacting really well to this idea.
And it's doing better than you expected it to do in terms of turnouts, people paying for it, because you have to, I understand there's a fee to participate. How much is the fee?
400. 400 dirham.
And yes. What do you get with the 400?
So for 400, a person get, I mean, he's free to come to our event. Also, he gets one drink and appetizers.
Okay.
And unlimited chess games.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we are doing performances on our events and everything, the atmosphere,
music, art.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I saw that. I mean, I attended one of the events. It was really incredible. How is chess important when it comes to business? Because business is very much a game of chess, I would say.
That's actually true. And I can say that to build a chess club is a really nice idea, because actually we checked the market, and nothing like that exists in the market yet.
Mm-hmm. Not even Dubai in the world?
In the whole world, because no one really? Mixing the chess with the art side.
Mm-hmm.
And no one is doing this event, because we want this event in a more entertainment way.
Right.
Because we want to ruin the stereotype that chess are boring.
Mm.
We want to build it in a nice atmosphere that people come there, they enjoy, and they build connections with each other through the chess board.
I mean, you've really tapped into an area that where there is no competition. It's a really smart move that you guys have done, because I used to have a lot of business meetings in the Address Boulevard, and they've got a lounge there, and they've got some chess tables, chess boards, sorry. Actually, it was one chess board, and it was always used. Someone was always playing a chess game, and these are people that go there for business, right? But they stay after business hours. They stay and continue to play chess games and, you know, have a drink and socialize and network. So it's incredible. What are your... Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, so we think that chess is a really nice way for socializing and mm-hmm. Building nice connections, also for business, for networking. And so for us, also, we understand that through chess, you can understand also a person much better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can see like the personality from a bit another side to see how he's thinking strategically.
Absolutely.
How he's planning.
So I've actually started playing chess recently as well. For people who are intimidated, because a lot of my friends say, "Oh, we would never play chess. We can't understand it. It's too complicated. It's too," and they're kind of embarrassed to play as beginners. Any advice?
I mean, for us, we are also not professional at all. Mm. We are also, I can say, just beginners.
Mm. Not beginners. Not beginners. Not professional.
Not beginners, but not professional. But it's more about like your desire to start, and mm-hmm. it's not actually nothing of too much difficult. Mm-hmm. The most difficult part, I can say, that maybe it looks for people just to understand how the figures are moving, the basic rules, and after that, really, you will have a huge passion for chess because it's
A lot of lessons you can find on chess.com. Mm-hmm. It's really
it's a nice app. There is everything for free. A lot nice. Of lessons, so you can
chess.com.
Easily... Yes,
mm-hmm. I need to write this down. Chess.com. Yeah. Right.
And also, if you will come to our event, we are always.
There to help.
Open to help to teach a base of chess. Sure.
What are your plans for the chess club? Is it going to be a monthly event? What is the vision for it? Where do you see this going?
We are actually planning to do it twice per month. So every 2 weeks, we are planning to change every time the venues. So mm-hmm. it will be every time a bit different concept. So it will be interesting for people to come to us every time, so they will see different atmosphere. And I think it's like that. Now we are planning to do it in Dubai. After we want to move also to Abu Dhabi. After mm-hmm. and nice. After other countries, for sure, we want to try.
So you want to take this global, but from
we
Dubai?
Wanna, yes.
Okay, I love that it's also still a homegrown Dubai brand, and you're taking that. You're planning on taking that to the world. How is it working with the venues? Do you do it on barter deals? Do you rent the venue? How difficult is it to get venues to partner up with?
I can say it's more, it's not too much difficult, but it's just difficult to find something that is suitable for us. Mm. And because we are looking for special kind of interiors and for our vision.
Yeah.
And then we are collaborating with venues. We are not renting, but we are just making a deal.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense, yeah, absolutely.
Making a deal of the profit and from the tickets.
What's the main challenge with doing this?
The main challenge, I think, for now, for example, now we are looking for a venue for our third event.
Mm-hmm.
So we are trying to do our best and find the best venue. So this is now, I think, the most challenging part.
Right. Yeah. Do you have any partners or is it just you guys?
Just us.
Just two of us.
How? What are people's reactions when they find out that you are behind the chess club?
Actually, I mean, sometimes people really cannot believe that we actually even play chess.
Yeah.
Some people think that it's just for the marketing reason we are doing this, but no, we are actually really have a huge passion for chess.
Nice.
But
love
I mean,
it.
People react really well and they love to play with us, and we just want to share this passion and bring more people to this.
Incredible. Beauty and brains, right? we can have both. It's not, it shouldn't be a mind-blowing thing that women can be beautiful
sure.
and smart, but people still get surprised, and that's crazy.
That's true.
Thank you so much for being with us in the
thank
studio.
Thank you so much.
And I'm really looking forward to the next event.
For sure.
Stay tuned with us, guys. Every day in the morning, Smashy Business. Stream us on smashy.tv. Follow us on social media and get us wherever you get your podcasts.